Fighting my Goliath. What is your Goliath? What is it that you're facing in your life right now that just is, it's just huge? In fact, it's so big that your life tends to be filled with fear when you think about it. The thing that you don't want to kind of go outside of your tent and face. The thing that you don't want to hear about, but it just every day you keep hearing about it or seeing it, and it's just forefront in your life right now. What is your Goliath? The Philistine said, "This day I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other." On hearing the Philistine's words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. This man would come out, and these two armies were on kind of like different hills in the valley below, and you got the Israelites and the Philistines, you have God's people and God's enemy. And, you know, instead of having this big war and this fight between two armies and a lot of people getting killed, Goliath comes down and says, "Hey, just one-on-one. Whoever wins takes all." And so he's coming down and he's saying, let's do it this way. And so basically, we've got some people that are scared. They're living in fear. They're terrified. And again, I just want to ask you, what is it in your life that's just getting to you right now? What is it you're afraid of? What is it that you want to live by faith, but yet fear seems to be the emotion that centers around this problem? Now, for 40 days, the Philistines came forward every morning and evening and took his stand. Twice a day, 40 days, in your face. "Hey, is there nobody here? Cannot somebody, where's your faith? Come and step up." Every day for 40 days, over and over, morning and evening, he comes out and just keeps reminding. Nobody steps forward. We learn a little bit more about Goliath. It says he was a champion who was from Gath, and he came out of the Philistine camp. He was over 9 feet tall. He's a champion, and he's over 9 feet tall. Do you know how tall nine feet is? It's taller than I am. Well, I took a tape measure, and you see where the grow is on the banner? It comes up somewhere about there. It's about two-thirds of the way up this screen. Now, they try to figure out from archaeology and bones that have been found that the average Hebrew at that time was, the average man was 5'3". The average height of a Hebrew man. David is just a boy, 15, 16 years old. He's probably about 4'6", just guessing. He is right here. That's how tall David is. That's how tall Goliath is. It's kind of how you feel, right? When you're facing what you're facing right now, you feel pretty small. You look pretty small standing in front of that huge problem. So what are you going to do about it? I mean, Goliath is so big. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he wore a coat of scale of armor of bronze weighing about 125 pounds. What he wore on him, his breastplate, was 125 pounds. There are several of you here this morning that he could just wear. I mean, that's just part of it. Look at how big he is. Look at how, not just tall, but he had to be huge to be able to wear that as his breastplate. So, here's Goliath. He's coming out every day, morning and night. And this is the Israelite army. This is the Israelite king. An Israelite's army, and nobody of God's people stepped forward. Not on day one, not on day 40. Many people have asked, where are the leaders? If these are God's people, if these are the people who rely on the one true and living God, the great and awesome and the powerful God, particularly Saul, he always stood head and shoulders above everybody else. Why doesn't he step forward? Where are the leaders? Where is anyone in the camp of Israel? These are the soldiers. Why doesn't anyone step forward? What do you think they're doing? You think they're in their tents praying? God, would you kill Goliath in his sleep? God, could you maybe just kind of have him trip and fall and kind of hit his head and just kind of take him out? God, here's my problem. God, what are you going to do about it? God, save us. I mean, I can easily picture these men in their tents praying that. God, what are you going to do about this? God, save us. And outside the tent, there's a giant out there mocking God. And nobody has the faith to step out. I wonder about some of the older soldiers and maybe some of the scars that they've already had from battle. Is that keeping them from stepping out in faith again? I think at times, though, the silence of God's people bring him shame. I think there are times that we, too, kind of gather in our tent. We have a much nicer tent, don't we? When outside, Goliath is mocking. I think sometimes we need to pray, God, forgive us for our lack of faith. The Israelites had been saying, do you see how this man keeps coming out? He comes out to defy Israel. Now the king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. He will also give him his daughter in marriage and will exempt his father's family from taxes in Israel. What do you think? That's a pretty sweet deal, isn't it? I'm going to make him wealthy. He's not going to have to pay taxes. I'm not sure what his daughter looked like, but it's the king's daughter, right? This is going into royalty here. This is a pretty nice deal. What do you notice about this deal, though? What do you notice about the incentive that Saul is setting out, trying to find somebody in our midst to step out in faith? Where's God? Where's God in all of that? I want to bless you with material, physical things. But where is God? When David's oldest brother heard him speaking with the men talking about David, he burned with anger at him. And he asked, why have you come down here, and with whom did you leave those few sheep in the desert? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle. Here comes David along. He's bringing food to his brothers, and he's hearing all this and wondering what's going on. And we know David's willing, right? But clearly David's alone. David's brothers give him no encouragement whatsoever. You would think his family would step up and say, wow, I really appreciate your faith. I'm behind you. But he doesn't. And neither does Saul. Look at what Saul says. You're not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You're only a boy. And he's been fighting man from his youth. What's Saul's message to David when he says, I can do this, I'll step out in faith? Saul's message is, you can't do it. You are just a boy. Well, isn't that encouraging? Do you find anybody in this story who ever says to David, you can do this? As I read the story, nobody cheered for David. Nobody prayed for David. Nobody encouraged David. Nobody shouted from the mountaintop, "We have a volunteer." I think one of the lessons that I see from that is that when we live in fear, you don't encourage those living by faith. When you live your life in fear, you're not very encouraging of those who live by faith. Maybe it's because they make you look bad. Maybe because there's some comfort, everybody kind of staying in the camp. Fear and faith. But somebody needs to kill the giant. "The Lord who delivered me from the paws of the lion and the paws of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." David begins to recount what God has done through him in the past. And then look at Saul. Doesn't he sound so religious at this point? "Go, and the Lord be with you." If he really believed that, why didn't he go? I don't see any sign of Saul's faith before this. But what we see in David, I'm ready. I'm ready. And in a sense, what was it? Was it his training in boot camp? Was it his years of service in killing giants? What is it? It's his walk with God. It's his walk with God. When you read this story, I hope you'll hear this. When you read this story, David's natural reaction is to accept the challenge. And the reason that's the case is because of his walk with the Lord before that. If you want to slay some giants, dive in today and make your walk with God the strongest it can be. When opportunities come, you'll find yourself naturally just taking that step. Like, isn't this what we're supposed to do? Instead of hiding in the camps. You see, there's a difference between knowing the power of God and using it. There's a difference between knowing the power of God and using it in your life. And so David goes to battle. David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled." Well, you got a big spear. You sure are a big dude. You're the biggest guy I've ever seen in my life. Wow. Do you know my God? He's much bigger. He's much more powerful. Whatever spear and shield and sword you have, I have the name of the Lord. Does that give you much comfort? Or would you rather have a sword? Or would you rather have a spear? Is God enough? "This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and I'll cut off your head. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that this little guy in Israel, who's only about 4 feet 6 inches tall, is quite the warrior. The whole world will know what a great battle this was. The whole world will know about this victory. In fact, for centuries to come, they'll still be talking about this battle. And they'll be talking about David's as the underdog and being able to have the victory. The whole world will know that." Is that David's emphasis? What did he say? the whole world will know there is a God in Israel. The people will look at what I have done today and know there is no way this short guy is going to beat that big guy. There has to be a God working in their life to accomplish what they just accomplished. All those gathered here will know that it is not by the sword or the spear that the Lord saves. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. Do you see the contrast between Saul and David? Saul's emphasis was what? If one of you will volunteer, I'll give you great wealth, my daughter in marriage, and you're exempt from taxes. What do you see the emphasis of David? I didn't stop to count them, but how many times did he talk about the Lord in those few verses? His eyes, his focus was on the Lord. As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Where's the fear? What's wrong with this kid? Doesn't he understand that he should have fear? Doesn't he understand that he should be afraid? But off he goes and he runs into the battle. Do you remember that Goliath that you first pictured when we started the lesson? Have you ever thought about running at it with God? Just running right into it and watch what God can do. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and he killed him. He didn't defeat Goliath from yelling. He didn't defeat Goliath from talking. And he didn't defeat Goliath just from praying about it. He ran at the problem with God. I don't know who said this next quote. If some of you have heard it before and know who it is, I'd love to know. But he talks about we today, how we like to avoid our Goliaths. And we tend to walk through the legs of the giants looking for pygmies. I want the short stuff. The things that I am bigger than I can take on. The things that I have greater power over, let me look for those things. But the giants, the things that are beyond me, the challenge is Satan only has giants. There are no pygmies in Satan's armies. And somebody needs to show us that there is a God in Israel. One last thought. When you thought of Goliath, your problem, the thing that you're feared, the things that that keeps yelling at you 40 days, day and night, I just want to ask you, is what you are picturing something of simply about you? Or was it something about God's kingdom? And maybe that's our problem. Our focus is on us instead of God's kingdom. Take your problems, give them to God. Step out of your tent, and in the name of the Lord, give God some victories. I just read where a high school basketball coach, Wingate High School in Brooklyn, New York, first day of practice, he gave the 12 boys on his high school basketball team, he gave them each a basketball, and he said, I want you to go, and I want you to practice shooting from the spot that you expect to be in during the game. The guy who considered himself the 12th man on that squad walked over to the bench and started shooting baskets from the bench. He got a chuckle out of the other players, but he sure didn't play much that season or so far in this season. Just curious. Is that you? I'm not a major player. I'm just kind of on the bench in case somebody needs to fill in for something. Sure is comfortable in those tents, isn't it? Sure is comfortable in those tents, except for the fear that rules our lives. Somebody show us there is a God. There's a God in this place. If we can pray for you, if we can assist you in any way in your walk with God, some of us will be at the front. You can come and share with us. Some of the elders and their wives will be at the back. If you'd like to just kind of go pray privately with them right now, in whatever way, if we can help you, please respond as we stand and sing this song.